So let's start our first meeting of 2022. Happy New Year to everyone. Welcome to our January 12th City of Bellevue's Planning Commission meeting. As past, I don't know how many months these meetings and future meetings will be held remotely via Zoom. Some housekeeping. Tonight's meeting will provide an opportunity for public comments during oral communication portion of the agenda. All written comments that have been submitted prior to 5:30 p.m. today will be summarized into the record. Following presentation by staff on this evening's agenda and to facilitate discussion with the commission, I will call upon each commissioner in attendance this evening individually to allow for questions and to provide input. Just please wait for your name and I will call you. Let's do a roll call. Vice Chair Ferris.
I am here.
Commissioner Bargaba.
I'm here as well.
Commissioner Brown.
I'm here.
Commissioner Gober.
I'm here.
Commissioner Mugyapkar is not here, and Commissioner Murso also is not here yet. Am I right? She has not been here? Okay, perfect. Council Member Barksel, I believe he is not able to make the meeting too.
That's correct.
Okay. So let's go to approval of our agenda. Can I get a motion to approve today's agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second.
It is moved by Commissioner Gopal and seconded by Vice Chair Ferris to approve today's meeting agenda. Is there any discussion? All approved say yes.
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 All opposed say no. Any abstained? The ayes have it, and we can go to the next one. City Council reports or any boards or commission. I believe we don't have anyone, Tara, so we can go to the next topic. So the next topic is you. The staff reports, please.
Good evening, Chair Malkuchian, Vice Chair Ferris, Planning Commissioners, staff and members of the public. Included in your packet, we incorporated tentative schedule for the next couple months, so January through March. And since the publishing of the packet, some minor changes already with the schedule. So we're trying to get things figured out for the next few months, but they're just some minor changes which will reflect in your next week's or the next packet that comes out for the second meeting in January. So today we're starting off the year with, we're going to be providing the commission with an overview of the comp plan update process, the periodic update. That's new information and a new kind of area for the commission, for several commission members. So we thought it would be helpful before we really delve into the scope of what Bellevue is going to be doing as part of the update, just to give you kind of the framework. At our next meeting in January, we're going to have staff from King County provide you with an overview of the countywide planning policies and kind of what the process has been there and what the emphasis areas are going to be, because that, of course, ties in very directly to our comp plan update. So they'll be talking about growth targets and things along those lines. We also have, we are also going to be talking with the commission as requested about the survey results that we talked about during your planning commission retreat in December. So we're going to have an opportunity to delve more into the feedback that you provided, kind of talk through some of the, easier things to address and things we're going to be able to move forward with. And then we'll also talk about some of the longer term issues and topic areas that we're going to need to have some further conversations with both city staff, other city departments, and the city manager's office as well. Following that, we'll be doing, that's where the change comes in. we aren't going to be doing an intro on the curb management plan, which is going to be part of this year's CPAs. There was a change in the schedule for getting that initiative launched by City Council, and so we'll be coming to a Planning Commission later on in February and presenting that. We are moving forward as Planning Commission set the public hearing for the emergency and supportive housing LUCA in December. So we'll be coming back to the commission to have the public hearing held on that topic. And then following that, there's a placeholder if the commission decides to defer the recommendation to the next meeting in February. We'll also have an opportunity to come to the commission and talk about a privately initiated amendment, which we presented to the commission in December. We're going to be talking about geographic scoping at that second meeting in February, and then potentially an intro on the curb management CPA as well. March, we anticipate coming to the commission pending council initiation of the periodic update. We'll be coming to the commission following that with an overview of what the scope and schedule looks like. And then second meeting in March, based on Planning Commission direction, we may be holding a public hearing on the annual CPAs, the threshold review for the privately initiated amendment. So that's a summary of what we're looking at over the next few months.
Thank you, Tara. That was a lot of information. Let me just go around the room and see if any of you has any questions for Tara. Commissioner Gopal, I start with you. Any questions for Tara in general?
One thing I was just going to ask was on the comprehensive plan amendment. I know there were some sort of threshold questions raised by opponents to that with respect to standing, and other things. Is that something that is going to be determined before we go into the process of doing a threshold determination? I was just trying to figure out sequencing.
So I can address that, and we have our city attorney here as well who can add on. We did meet with the Loch Leven community, I believe it was Monday of this week, and met with them and kind of walked them through the CPA process. They had some specific questions that we addressed specific to public comment. And I believe there's some of those members here signed on to the call or a meeting today. And I think one of them signed up to speak as well during public comment. My understanding, and Matt can confirm this, is we have been provided with documentation from the applicant that they are now the property owners of record. And so I don't believe the legal standing issue that was raised is a concern anymore. Matt, anything you'd like to add to that?
I think it's important for the Planning Commission to focus on the merits under the decision criteria, both the threshold decision criteria, and then if it goes forward, the final decision criteria. We certainly get public comments a lot of times that raise other issues that don't go to the decision criteria. And rest assured that in the staff report, staff will respond to the public comments we receive in detail. But the commission's role is to look at the proposal under the decision criteria that's in the land use code. So that's certainly what I would encourage the commission to do. But that being said, staff does always respond to public comments that it receives, regardless of whether those public comments are directly on point or not.
Okay, that's helpful. I just wanted to understand the sequence of determinations, but that clarifies things for me. Thank you.
And I think Commissioner Gopal, that was a great question. That was kind of my question. I know what Matt is talking about and what is our framework of work. But if there is no standing, why should we spend time on it? So I think that overall was a great question. Thank you for asking. Vice Chair Ferris.
I have no questions. Thanks.
Thank you. Commissioner Brown?
I have no questions. Thank you.
I always leave the best for the last. Commissioner Bargava?
No questions for me as well.
And Tara, just double checking, Commissioner Morso, you cannot check, you cannot see her anywhere. Like, okay, perfect. Thank you, Tara. Thank you for questions. I think we can go to oral and written communication section. We start with oral communication. As always, the total time for oral communication is 30 minutes. The speakers will be allowed up to 3 minutes to speak on topics not scheduled for the public hearing. Tara will call on speakers in the order in which they have registered on the web form registration site. If anyone from the public has missed the 5:30 p.m. registration deadline, you may still provide public comments. Just use the raise hand function in Zoom that indicates you would like to speak. So Tara, please tell us who is number one.
We have Craig Spiesel who signed up to speak. So Craig, I'm gonna enable you to speak, and if you could give me a moment while I pull up the timer.
Yeah, actually, I'd like to yield my time to Mark Walters, a board member of Lochleven, and reserve the time for later for me. Mark, are you on?
Yes, Mark is. I do see Mark here, so let me enable him to speak. Are you saying you would like to speak after he goes?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right, Mark, you should be able to unmute yourself. And if you could give me a moment while I pull up the timer. All right, your time begins now.
Okay, just a second while I find my notes. My screen covered it. Okay, so I'm Mark Walters. I'm a member of the Lochleven, the board for the Lochleven Community Association. And I have to say that I appreciate the Planning Commission raising the issue of standing, which is something that we raised. And with respect, I feel like the city attorney has told us, well, that's not pertinent because the guy owns the property now, and so we're just going to move forward. So I just want to go over what the timeline here. So on September 15th, 2021, which is, I understand it, that's the last day that an applicant can file an application to amend the comprehensive plan. This application came in. The applicant didn't own the property until December 17th, roughly 3 months later. And so I think it's a bit of a dangerous precedent for the city to allow non-property owners and we have nothing to show that this particular applicant was authorized by the prior owner to request this application to amend the comprehensive plan. And it seems like it's a dangerous precedent for the city to allow people who don't own the property and where there's no evidence that the applicant is an authorized agent of the owner of the property to start filing applications to amend the comprehensive plan. There's a lot of pieces of property around the city of Bellevue that I would like to potentially amend the comprehensive plan, but I don't own them. But if the city's going to start considering those applications, you know, maybe people should start filing them. I don't think that's what the city wants to do, but you can see how that could be taken to its ridiculous conclusion. We asked the city attorney to explain how a non-owner and non-authorized agent can trigger the city to begin this review process for a proposed amendment to the comprehensive plan, and we were told that this falls under his attorney-client privilege. I don't think it falls under the attorney-client privilege. I think the basis and the conclusions upon which the city concluded that this applicant has standing should be part of the record so that the public can understand how this happened. And I think that, you know, to avoid the arbitrary and capricious standard of agency action, that's something that should be answered. And I got to say, I feel like we're getting blown off here on this one. And this issue is not going away. So thank you for your time. I'm a little, I apologize if I come across a little heated, but I feel like we've been somewhat disrespected by the city attorney's office.
Thank you so much for your comment, Mark. So Tara, who would be the next? You are on mute.
Sorry about that. I believe the other speaker that we have is Craig Spiesel. Craig, you should be able to unmute yourself. You're still unable to speak, so you should be able to unmute yourself.
I should be unmuted. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yes.
We can.
Great. Thank you. While I pull up the timer. Okay. And the timer. Again, well, thank you very much. And I appreciate the commission's question about legal standing because it is a very important issue. And I think very specifically, the CPA application states an applicant must be a legal owner or owner's authorized agent, and neither of these legal conditions have been met. And so we're very concerned about this lack of transparency. And to Mark's point, we were told by the city attorney for us to find out more information, we have to retain an attorney. And that just doesn't sound right. The city and the city staff and the plan commission exist to protect the rights of the residents and of the city. And this process really lacks transparency. And it really impacts and tarnishes the concept of trust and integrity of the city's planning process and the CPA process for the benefit of a single developer who does not reside in the city. And we respectfully believe that the city commission should not continue on this process, and it should be investigated. And again, at this point, it should be curtailed from this part of the CPA process. So thank you very much, and we're happy to have further discussion. But as Mark said, this issue is not going away, and it's really impacting the community's trust of the city in general. Thank you.
Thank you, Craig. Carla, do we have anyone on the list?
No, we only have one person signed up to speak, and okay. I believe he's already spoken.
Okay, time for anyone else who wants to raise your hand. And Tara will give you the opportunity to speak. I don't see any hand.
I don't see anyone else.
So I think we can move on to the written communication.
Staff provided the correspondence that we've received in your packet, and as reflected in the public oral comment this evening. Comments were related to the privately initiated CPA that was submitted. And so that was incorporated in the Planning Commission packet, and I believe also comments relating to the Great Neighborhoods, comments from the Loch Leven community relating to the Great Neighborhoods sub-area neighborhood plan that moved forward to through the council process and was adopted by City Council in December. In addition to that, we have not received any further correspondence since the publishing of the packet on Friday.
Thank you so much. So I think, Tara, we can go to our study session. There is nothing else on the agenda. Am I right?
That's correct.
Perfect. So let's go to our one and only study session, introduction and overview of the comprehensive plan periodic update process. Our city staff will provide a presentation on this topic. In order to facilitate, after the staff has completed their presentation, I'm going to call upon each of you and we can ask questions or provide input. Please wait for your name to be called. And Elizabeth, you have the floor, please.
Chair Malakuchin, Vice Chair Ferris, and members of the commission and the public. Tara, would you like me to pull this one up?
Sure. I think it's not letting me. I think because you're sharing it or you have it open.
I can pull it up.
Letting me open.
All right. Can everyone see that all right?
Yes.
Great. All right. So tonight we're going to discuss the comprehensive plan periodic update. This is just an overview of the process. We're not going to get into the nitty-gritty details today. I'll kind of outline the upcoming schedule and how we will get into all of those details over the coming months as well. But this is a great opportunity to just give a good overview, especially for any new commissioners, but really for everybody, since this process does not come up very often. So we will go through all that and then go over questions at the end. So we're going to start by looking at what's coming up with the schedule and different opportunities for you to hear more about this. And then we're going to talk about comprehensive planning in general, just briefly, and then we're going to go into the requirements, both state and regional, that impact this process. And so that'll kind of lay out our framework for this update. So on the screen, you can see our schedule. Today, we're giving you an overview of the process for the periodic update itself. And a really important part of the periodic update are the countywide planning policies, also known as the CPPs. So that will be something that you'll also hear about on January 26th. And so you'll hear more from the county on those CPPs and get kind of an overview of those, which really provide a framework for our update, which we'll go into in more detail. In February, on the 28th, there will be a city council meeting where we are seeking direction to initiate the project itself. And so closely on the heels of that meeting, we will be having a meeting with you all, with the commission, to go over our scope and schedule and much more in detail of the actual process for this particular update. Whereas today we're really focusing more on the overview of the process itself and the framework that exists for really any of these major updates. So then following March 9th, we will really be working quite closely with the Planning Commission for the next 2 years, leading up to the June 2024 deadline for adoption of the periodic update. So by that point, it will all be completed. Council will hopefully have adopted it, and that will kind of mark the end of this project. So obviously, there's a lot that'll happen between those, but we'll kind of go over that at the next study session with you all so that you get a detailed look at that schedule. So now we're going to dive a little bit into an overview of comprehensive planning in general. Some of this you likely know and some of it will be a little bit new, but here's a diagram some of you have seen before. This is directly out of the comprehensive plan itself at the beginning, where it talks a little bit about what the plan is for. And it just gives you an idea of what the purpose of a comp plan is, and that it includes goals and policies. And that's really kind of these guiding framework document or kind of elements. And then that might lead to regulations or plans or programs throughout the city itself, but those are not within the actual comprehensive plan itself, but are really guided by that framework. So the comp plan is really envisioning a framework that is going quite far out into the future. And then those other elements in the second row are a little bit more kind of directly coming out of that and providing kind of additional, more detailed framework. And so as an example, we have our land use zoning come out of the actual comp plan itself. We also have plans like the water system plan that come out of that guiding framework. And then we also have specific programs or ways that we spend money. So the example given here is the neighborhood traffic safety program. And so this at the bottom is kind of aimed at residents and looking at how those different things impact them. But this gives you an idea of how a comp plan can really impact many, many different things that we do here at the city. And a lot of those are really based on the goals and policies within the document itself. We also want to emphasize what your role is in looking at the comp plan. It's really a key part of what the Planning Commission does. You'll see on the right, there's an image of the land use map that's also part of the comprehensive plan. So in addition to the goals and policies I mentioned on the previous slide, this land use plan is really key to your role as a planning commission. You heard a little bit about the comprehensive plan amendments or CPAs, which often are seeking to amend specific parts of this map. So that's an example of the kind of annual process for updating the comprehensive plan. But this major update will, as one would expect, be likely larger than those individual amendments. So that's a really key part of your role as a commission, in kind of tandem with those goals and policies. We also will be working with other boards and commissions as they have a very important insight as well on their individual areas. And so that's going to happen in tandem while we work with the Planning Commission. And we will, as I said, continue working with you throughout the process up to 2024. So now that that's a little bit of kind of what comprehensive planning is, we'll talk a little bit more specifically about the actual requirements, both state and regional. And this diagram, which comes off of the Puget Sound Regional Council's website, is a really great way to understand how all these things interact. So I'll walk through each of these kind of hexagons on each of the coming slides, but it's really a layered framework where each hexagon in this diagram, but each layer provides a framework for the next layer, getting geographically closer. So the Growth Management Act is a state framework. And then within that is Vision 2050 and the multi-county planning policies, which is a regional framework. Within that, Arc County and King County has countywide planning policies. And then each city within King County has a local comprehensive plan. So it kind of keeps nesting within each other. And having to really follow that framework that was created by that larger document and body. And I referenced on this slide here the state framework that has specific requirements as well. But that mostly lays out the Growth Management Act itself. So looking at the state requirements, the Growth Management Act or the GMA really is the big basis for this framework. It really lays out a lot of specific requirements about how this all happens and lays out sort of the framework for that nesting that we just went through. It also has really a goal of distributing growth towards urban areas and employment centers and being really smart about the way that we as a state grow. And in doing so, it really aims to protect rural and critical and natural resource areas so that we can be very intentional about where we grow and, you know, growing in specific areas, but protecting other areas in tandem. It also specifies a very specific public process that we have to follow in order to ensure that the public is kept informed and is part of the process itself. So for the periodic update itself, it is a requirement that it happens every 8 years. It also allows for those individual once a year kind of smaller CPAs that you might be more familiar with. Our last update happened in 2015. They actually extended this update to 2024. So it's a little confusing because usually it's every 8 years, but there's actually a 9-year gap this time. But our deadline is 2024 for this cycle. And the plan looks out 20 years, and so you'll see a lot about 2044 because that is how far out this plan looks, and that is what our growth targets are for. And so 2024 to 2044 is an important kind of range to think about. There are a number of kind of more specific state requirements. One of them is talking about which specific elements have to be in the comprehensive plan. The various chapters of the comprehensive plan are referred to as elements, and while you can have additional ones, there are baseline requirements, having ones like land use, housing, utilities, transportation, et cetera. So there's a whole list of specific ones we have to include. And we've also opted to include a few others that are really important to Bellevue specifically. And then on the map here, you can see in by colors what the different regions are. So this sort of sage green color is our 4-county regional area. And so each of these different areas might be on a slightly different schedule. So it's not that the entire state has to have this update done by 2024. Each region has a slightly different target. So it gets kind of staggered, but that you are planning with your local counties in a kind of larger framework. And that framework is the region. So on this slide, we're looking at the region. Our region is the 4 counties that you saw on the previous slide, and the Puget Sound Regional Council, or also known as PSRC, is the body that plans for that region. And their planning document is called Vision 2050. They update that year as it gets updated. So you might have also heard of Vision 2040, which is what it was recently called. And that document is shown here on the left, and it includes multi-county planning policies that really provide that framework for the 4 counties within this region. to plan within. And so the counties themselves really look towards those policies to create their own policies and framework. And then again, kind of add their own more local, areas of import to their planning documents. So keep nesting in. The Vision 2050 has a particular emphasis on really talking about how housing and jobs are related and locating housing near jobs to really kind of get more smart about the way we grow in particular. So moving from there, we are in King County. So that's one of the four counties that BSRC looks at. And King County has their own countywide planning policies. And these are the ones that will most directly impact our comprehensive plan, because that is kind of the one layer out nesting, hexagon from that diagram. So these are ones that you will be getting an update with much more detail in later in January. So stay tuned for that. But a really high level of that you'll see in the sort of diagram on the right here, that there are a lot of changes that really are specific to the housing element. So the county rewrote a lot of housing policies, so you'll hear about those. There's also a really new focus on equity. So kind of throughout all the different pieces and topics, there's a focus on equity. And so you'll hear that over and over again as well. And that will really impact how we look at our comprehensive plan and updating it. There's also a focus on climate action and preparedness and resilience. And so that's an area that we have quite a bit on in our comprehensive plan, but there's definitely an increased emphasis on it. And so we will also be talking about that quite a bit. In addition to these kind of specific areas, there is also an entire section about growth targets. And so you've gotten a bit of briefing on that as well in the past, but our growth targets for 2044 are to add 35,000 housing units and 70,000 jobs. Our focus is really maintaining that sort of 2-to-1 ratio between jobs and housing units. So we'll talk more when we launch into the details of our particular update about how we intend to go through that process and what that looks like. But just so you have those numbers in your mind, we wanted to include it here. And every city has their own growth targets. So that gives you hopefully an overview of everything. We did want to, on this last slide, just remind you about the briefing on the countywide planning policies or CPPs that's happening at your next session, and that we will be back to give you a lot more details on this in our particular update on March 9th. So with that, I will hand it back to the chair. Thank you.
Thank you so much for a great presentation. Elizabeth, appreciate you as always. Let's just go around the room and see who has questions. Vice Chair Ferris.
Thank you. Again, great presentation. It was really interesting. I do have two questions. I think I know the answers, but I just wanted to verify. I'll just do one and then you can come back to me. So on the housing ratios, which is 2-to-1, is that a ratio that's common throughout the whole growth management act, throughout the whole state, or is that specific to Bellevue? And second part of the question, if it's specific to Bellevue, can we change that?
So it is specific to Bellevue. There was kind of a whole process over the last year about kind of negotiating and discussing kind of which cities should get which growth targets. And so that is specifically the growth targets that we as a city have. And they are set at this point. And so that is our goal for this. Hopefully that answers your question there.
Not really.
I can elaborate on that a little bit. So multi-county planning policies direct each county to develop growth targets and address jobs housing balance. So how each county is going to do that. And so city staff from both Bellevue as well as all the jurisdictions within Kent County have worked, I'd say over the last year and a half, to try and figure out what that jobs housing balance is going to look like. Every jurisdiction assesses what they want to achieve in terms of that balance. And I believe our last target achieved 2.5-to-1. So we're achieving a much closer jobs housing balance with this round, with this periodic update. But as I said, every jurisdiction, we can provide you with more information I can even talk with county staff if you're interested in what that balance looks like in other jurisdictions. We can incorporate that into your briefing on the 26th if there's interest from the commission.
That would be interesting. I guess just a really quick follow-up question, though. Does the Planning Commission have any power or any way to suggest changes to that ratio, or is that it's just been set by the city?
At this point, my understanding is, so the process for targets, once we go through that negotiation process, then it goes to the Growth Management Policy Board, the King County Growth Management Policy Board and a policy council, GMPC, and they make a recommendation to the King County Council, and the Growth Management Policy Council comprises of electeds from a number of jurisdictions. And so that recommendation has already been made. King County Council has already adopted those targets. And then they are actually going to be moving forward for our council to ratify the growth targets as well as the CPPs. We have a tentative date of February 7th for that to occur. So
the answer is no.
Pretty extensive process to get them amended at this point.
All right, thank you.
Do you have any number in your mind, Vice Chair Ferris?
No, I'm really curious about kind of how they came up with that number.
Yeah.
That part I would be interested to learn. I'm sure it's really valid. I would just be interested to find out how you came up with it.
Yeah, I am interested as well. Thank you for the questions. Commissioner Goffel.
My questions were in a similar vein with VC Ferris about those growth targets, because one of the things I was concerned about, just from our offsite retreat at the end of last year, is I think Mr. Cummins mentioned that we have a housing deficit of tens of thousands of housing units in the city of Bellevue. And I guess one of the questions I would have in the setting of those targets was that taken into account in setting the ratio here? Because I'm very concerned, that Bellevue could end up repeating some of the mistakes that I think were made by other cities in this region. For example, in the South Lake Union neighborhood, where there was supposed to be a whole lot more residential housing that was supposed to be introduced. And instead what happened was there was all, commercial space that got put in. And I think if, Bellevue is really looking to become a place where people can both work and live in the same place, I just have real concerns that ratio of 2-to-1 may not be enough, to really ensure that you're going to have affordable housing, for people to be able to both live and work in Bellevue. So I guess if it's already set, we'll work with it. But I was disappointed in the figures that were put forward in terms of the number of housing units in the materials that we got so far. So I would like to get more information as well on how those numbers were set and why we think that's adequate in order to achieve the objectives that we want to have longer term.
We can certainly provide the commission with an overview. It sounds like just hearing from two commissioners is interest in learning more about the growth target setting process. There's a very in-depth methodology that we went through with the county. It was all done in three phases where we looked at our capacity, looked at, what's been developed, our developable area. So there's all that goes into the formula for setting the growth targets. I'd say in addition to that, one of the requirements with the comprehensive plan update is that every jurisdiction update their housing element. And as a part of that process, we have to do an updated housing needs assessment. So that's where we would really figure out what is our housing need, what's our affordable housing need, what have we done so far, what's our inventory look like. In relation to that, we do a very detailed gap analysis that assesses what our inventory looks like versus what our need looks like. And so all of that we have to address as part of the comp plan update.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Bargava.
Trying to unmute myself. Okay. Thank you for that presentation, Elizabeth. It was really well structured and thoughtfully put forward. Very simple question for me, more for my own education and understanding of the context of the city. From the last time the comprehensive plan was updated to this cycle where you have proposed sections, are there any significant changes or additions or deletions in terms of sections that you plan to address within the comprehensive plan update? Looking to better understand if there's been any change strategically in thinking about what we believe is relevant.
Yeah, I think that we will definitely go into a lot more detail in the March 9th session, but to give you like a little bit of a look at that and an overview, one thing that I did not mention but should have mentioned is that in addition to the kind of structured framework that I went through in the presentation, there are, of course, things that are not necessarily requirements based on that framework, but that are really important for Bellevue that, you know, might be changes since our last update. It's really important for us to look at the council vision and look at those things that are really high priority and incorporate those. So, you know, as you can imagine, housing is a really important topic, both for Bellevue specifically for all the reasons we just mentioned, but also for the county and all of the updates to that framework. So that's going to be a really big part of this. And similarly, climate is coming up as a very important topic in all those areas as well. So a lot of the things that are coming up for the county are also coming up for us as a city as, you know, equally or higher importance. And so those are some of the areas that there will be a lot of focus on. There's also been a lot of discussions about equity, as I mentioned, both the way that the county kind of is describing them, but also the way our city is handling those conversations and looking at that. So those are definitely the areas that have come up a lot. I know that those are kind of the same areas that I mentioned are important for the county, but they're also really key in discussions in our council vision. And there's also, of course, a big thing for Bellevue is light rail opening very shortly. And so that's an area that our current comp plan really doesn't go into a lot of detail on, but that we will definitely be, you know, elaborating on and really integrating into our comp plan with this update.
Okay, I appreciate that. Part of my reasoning was as well that there are some fundamental changes since the last comprehensive plan was probably done, and light rail and traffic and transportation and the way the concentration of jobs has increased over the last 10 years is very different from what would have been the context for when this was done previously. And so are we thinking fundamentally differently about any of those inputs? Is really what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're mentioning all of those kind of hot button issues, and we will kind of have a spreadsheet that walks through each of those big scope kind of topics at our next meeting, and definitely can follow up on those specifically there. But hopefully that I gave you a bit of an overview of those big ones.
Yeah, that sounds exciting. Look forward to that.
Thank you. Commissioner Brown.
Thank you for that opportunity and the presentation. And I kind of echo the sentiments of my fellow commissioners that this is really a unique opportunity for us to, you know, to shape the future of the city, to really, you know, look at what we can do and what efforts we can take, particularly in the area of affordable housing, but also in terms of equity and in terms of climate change and some of these big issues. It just feels like this is an opportunity, and we all are super eager to know what we can do. Like, what levers can we push? What policies can we vote for? What, you know, efforts can be made that might, you know, push things one way or the other, create more affordable housing or more opportunities for that, you know, really look at the impact of COVID and what a post-COVID world might look like, because again, certainly we didn't anticipate a global pandemic in the last comp plan. What, you know, how is that going to shape the future of work? Are we going into offices anymore? Are there particular levers that we can identify that might make a difference in this process?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this, as you mentioned, this is such a big opportunity. We really are at a moment in our city where there are all these changing pieces, and you know, there are levers that this comp plan can pull. And so I think that's a great way to think about that. And I love the way that you worded it as an opportunity, because it is. You know, and I think we're kind of syncing up on all those big topics, and the way that we incorporate our growth targets is really key. You know, Tara mentioned that it's more than just a number. It's also, you know, what type of housing units they are, what affordability level, where they are. All of those things are going to be really, really key levers as well. So it's not like the fact that the growth targets are set means, well, that's what we're doing, and, you know, we don't have a choice. There are many levers in the way that we accommodate our growth, and that's a really big part of this update. So I think that's a really big one. There are so many other levers, you know, you mentioned a lot of those topics. So definitely be kind of thinking about which ones you think are really important between now and when we come back. But we'll be going through a lot of those big scope pieces where we'll be able to take big bites out and hopefully pull some levers.
Thank you. Well, I know in particular, affordable housing comes up in a lot of what we would love. You know, we love Bellevue and housing super expensive here. We can't afford it. I have a son in his 30s, and there's no way he could afford anything, anywhere in the city ever. I'm just thinking ever. And I'd like that to be different somehow. So if you could just kind of keep in mind, if there are particular things that are options that we could use that might expand the supply of affordable housing, especially at those lower income ranges, if you could flag those for us, that would be really helpful, because I think there's a desire for us to make that kind of difference in this opportunity. Thanks.
For sure.
Thank you. Commissioner Brown, I kind of start again from you. If you have any follow-up questions, second question, that's the second round. I'm starting from you and go all the way to the top.
I already felt like I got everything I needed to say.
Okay, that's awesome. Perfect. Okay,
thank you.
That's great. Commissioner Bargalo.
Nope, no other questions.
Thank you. Vice Chair Ferris.
Yeah, just a follow-up, and I know this is probably going to be almost a dumb question, but in terms of the growth targets and the 70,000 jobs that you mentioned, I obviously have this much experience in it, you guys have this much, but it just seems like that's pretty low. We know that, you know, Amazon alone is going to be bringing in $25,000 jobs, and we're saying it's going to be 70 by 2050. That just seems like we haven't maybe taken everything into consideration, because we know that density kind of multiplies. And anyway, I guess my question would be, while you're telling us how you've come up with the housing ratio, I would also really, really like to understand how you came up with those growth targets as well.
Yeah, I think that's helpful insight into what we should bring back for sure. And it sounds like it would be helpful to also kind of look at that kind of trajectory graph, both the past and the future, so that you can understand how those relate.
That would be great. Thank you.
Commissioner Goebel.
Yeah, I don't have anything further. Thank you. Good presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth. And I love the fact that you were showing it yourself and there was no next slide to Tara. That was awesome. And Commissioner Bargalo and Vice Chair Ferris, please do not use simple questions or dumb questions. There is nothing simple or dumb about any of your questions. All great questions. Thank you, Elizabeth. Looking forward to the future kind of planning. Do you think that in your schedule that you showed it to us, we need to go to EBCC at some point, or those are not part of the plan at all?
We are planning to also interact with EBCC, and so that is part of the broader schedule. When we kind of follow up with you all in early March, we'll have a bigger schedule about how all the different boards and commissions and EBCC and council, kind of how all those different pieces will fit together.
Thank you. I'm sure you are thinking about everything. Thank you so much for your presentation. I think we are just looking forward to the next step. Do we have, Tara, anything on the other business?
We do not.
Perfect. So I think the next item on the agenda is just approval of minutes. So I think the first set of minutes that we have is minutes of December 1st, 2021. Can I get a motion to approve the meeting minutes of December 1st, 2021?
I would like to move to approve the minutes from December 1st meeting.
Is okay. There... it is... It is moved by Vice Chair Ferris and seconded by Commissioner Brown to approve the minutes of December 1st, 2021 meeting. Is there any discussion?
I found a couple of errors in the minutes on page 2 and page 3. It refers to Matt McFarland's title as assistance city attorney, and it should be assistant with a T instead of a NCE. Same on Emil King's title on page 3. But other than that, it was perfect.
Like, how your eyes even catch those? So impressive. Great. Tara, you're going to correct those. So assuming those are correct, all approved, say yes.
Yes.
All opposed, say no. Any abstained? I think the ayes have it, and we approved the minutes of December 1st, 2021. With the two corrections that Commissioner Gopal found on the minutes. The next one is going to be December 8th. Can I get a motion to approve the meeting minutes of December 8th, 2021?
So moved.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
That's awesome. We shared this moving and seconding. It is moved by Commissioner Gopal and seconded by Commissioner Bhargava to approve the minutes of December 8, 2021. Is there any discussion? Commissioner Gopal, they just did correct this time?
Yeah, that's good.
That's awesome.
Or I got tired.
all approved, say yes?
Yes.
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 I didn't hear any no. All opposed, say no. Any abstained? The ayes have it. We just approved the minutes. Oral communication continuous. We have another 15 minutes for oral communication. You have 3 minutes if you wanted to speak with us. Please raise the hand function if you wanted to talk to us, and Tara will allow that happen. So audience, please use the raise hand function if you wanted to talk to Commissioner. I don't see any hand. Tara, can you see any hand?
No, no one. No one has a hand raised.
Perfect. That's it, Tara? I think this is a new record. We never finished in the past 5 years at 725. There is something wrong. What are we missing, Tara?
Starting off easy.
That's a warning for new commissioner. This is not going to be the case. That's what you are saying, Tara? Okay. Any last minute questions for Tara? I think we are 7:25. Anything you can ask Tara and put her on the spot? No? No questions?
No.
Okay. So I think we can adjourn the meeting. Thank you so much for a very quick and short meeting, the first meeting of 2022.
Woot! It's your fabulous leadership, Mohan. Chair Mao Kuching.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Have a great night and see you guys all soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.